Great one, gang. See you tomorrow.
This is Quality News Network. In a conservative shift, the Supreme Court has ruled that police armed with a warrant can barge into homes and seize evidence even if they do not knock first. The decision is considered a huge government victory that was decided by President Bush's new justices. Dissenting justices say the decision erases more than 90 years of Supreme Court precedent, and they predict the police will now feel free to dispense with the knock altogether. Iraq says al-Qaeda's reign of terror is nearing an end as the U.S. military announced the killing of more than 100 rebels since the death of the group's leader, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, in last week's U.S. airstrike, also the discovery of a mine of information from his hideout. In a separate announcement, the Pentagon says the U.S. military death toll in Iraq since March 2003 is 2,500, with nearly 18,500 wounded and tens of thousands of Iraqis killed. Another 200 prisoners were released today in Iraq under Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's National Reconciliation Plan to free a total of 2,500 inmates by the end of the month. More than 750 have been freed so far. The Senate has passed and sent to the President the $94.5 billion spending bill to provide more hurricane relief for the Gulf Coast, as well as for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The $66 billion earmarked for overseas military operations brings the total expenditure for the two wars to nearly $410 billion. Republican leaders have begun a debate in the House on the war, and then they plan to dare Democrats to vote against a non-binding resolution to hold firm on Iraq and the war on terrorism. President Bush is expected to announce today the creation of the world's largest marine protected area, a group of remote Hawaiian islands that cover 84 million acres and are home to 7,000 species of birds, fish, and marine mammals, at least a quarter of which are unique to Hawaii. It will be the country's 75th national monument. The President signed several bills today, one which boosts safety regulations for the mining industry and one which increases indecency fines against broadcasters. Wind-blown wildfires continue to keep hundreds of people from their homes in Colorado and Arizona, where severe drought conditions have created ideal conditions for wildfires. In Afghanistan, 7 laborers en route to work at a U.S. military base were killed and 17 injured when a bomb hit their minibus today. In Gaza, Hamas-controlled the government says it wants a ceasefire with Israel and is willing to speak to Palestinian militant factions in Gaza to get them to stop firing rockets at the Jewish state if Israel will stop military activity in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank. This is Quality News Network. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Last-minute business travelers and some first-class flyers will pay more this summer for domestic tickets on some of the major airlines. Delta has raised one-way walk-up tickets by $50, a move quickly matched by United, American, and Continental. The number of newly laid-off workers filing claims for unemployment benefits fell to the lowest level in nearly 4 months last week, 295,000. That's down 8,000 from the previous week. Industrial production unexpectedly fell in May, reflecting weakness in manufacturing as the economy flashed more signals of a spring slowdown. Google has a new website for Shakespeare devotees. All of the Bard's plays are now available online by clicking onto google.com/Shakespeare. And in other Google news, the company is buying its own Silicon Valley headquarters for $319 million. It's been renting since 2003. Homeland Security Department says that the airlines are underpaying the government about $14.5 million a year. This from the tax.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean stride.
Right, it's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're on air again, one more time again with Bruce Birch on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's very good to be back with you again today. Very glad to be back with you on this sunny afternoon. I'm broadcasting live from Greensboro, North Carolina today, and it's, man, it's a beautiful day today. Just fantastic. It's very temperate. I'm not sure exactly what the temperature is, but you don't need to know that if you're not in Greensboro, right? Right. Okay. You heard the number at the top of the show. It's 1-877-443-2366. If you want to email me, you can email me by emailing bruce@brucebirch.com. You can also visit my website, brucebirch.com, to check out the show post. I usually try to get up a post about, my blog there about, I don't know, a couple hours ahead of time, so that you know what's going to be happening on the show today. And what is going to be happening on the show today, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, is I will have on a little bit later on in the program, I'll have Craig Aaron, who is the communications director of Free Press, and we're going to be talking about net neutrality today. While you're listening to the show, if you want to sort of bone up, if you will, on net neutrality, check out the website savetheinternet.com that's put on or was created by and is hosted by Free Press at freepress.net. And they are fighting a battle against Verizon and Comcast and all of the other Internet providers who want to limit your access. They want to give you a system wherein if you pay more, they'll give you everything that exists out there, which you get right now for one price. And, you know, it effectively would create a two-tiered Internet system. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And right now, actually, there's a bill that passed the House of Representatives, I believe. But Craig will tell us all about that later, and we'll take your phone calls on that if you want to get in on that topic. Also, you know, we talked a little bit about the Southern Baptist Convention that was here in Greensboro over the last 3 or 4 days. We talked about that yesterday, and really don't have any fallout as a result of that. But definitely, you know, if you have comments on any of the stuff that happened at the Southern Baptist Convention, you want to call up and talk about it, we're here for that reason. Now, the other thing, too, is that it appears, and just wanted to give you a quick heads up, if you're trying to reach HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, it appears that the server is down. So just stick around. Don't worry about it. We'll get it back up. We've got somebody working on it right now. Our good friend John Fox is trying his best. He just woke up down there in Sydney, and he's waking up to a problem. So have a moment of silence for John, if you would, this morning. So, But, you know, yeah, if you want to get over to my blog, you can actually comment on various things of the show if you want to by commenting on the comment area of the blog at brucebirch.com for today until we get the chat room back up. But normally we have the chat room going at the headonradionetwork.com website. So for some reason, though, the server's down, and we'll figure that out. Always something with the Internet, isn't there? Or maybe it's network neutrality at work, ladies and gentlemen. It might be that Head On Radio Network has become a victim of network neutrality issues because we're doing this show. You never know. You never know. Okay, the other thing, too, is that Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, and I just left his website, so I know that it's up. WhiteRoseSociety.org, he archives some of the most amazing progressive radio talk show, conversation radio, that exists on the planet there on his website at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can go there and download some of the latest and greatest of the shows of this network. All of the shows of this network are archived there, as well as a great many shows from other networks and other radio stations that he archives. And you can go there and download that stuff for free. Now, he's doing a fundraiser, and he's getting toward he's just got started. So if you get a chance and you have a few bucks you want to drop, if you use that service, please do go give him a hand, because he does a wonderful service there in archiving many, many hours of progressive talk radio, which, by the way, is an up and coming thing. So, you know, we need all the help we can get on the left side. Please do help him out. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program. My name is Bruce Birch, and we had to get all that stuff sort of out of the way, those precursory announcements, and before we could get into the meat of the program. I was looking at a few things online, and, you know, one of the things that has been going on is this whole thing with Hillary Clinton. It really kind of blows my mind. You know, she is, I would say, probably the most polarizing figure out there as far as the candidates, the venturing out there candidates for president for the Democratic Party. And a new poll, a new Fox News, well, of course, this is from Faux News, a new Fox News Opinion Dynamics poll will report later on today that Senator Hillary Clinton is the most frightening candidate for president by more than a 2-to-1 margin. Clinton had the highest fright factor. The fright factor. Oh, my God! It's the fright factor. Clinton had the highest fright factor among Republicans at 58%. Independents also feared Clinton, 2-to-1 over Giuliani, from 25 to 12%. And among Democrats, Clinton came in as the second most feared candidate, trailing former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani by just 7 points. The poll was conducted with a sample made up of 42% Democrat, 34% Republican, and 19% Independents. And there is a poll available out there. You can go to go to rawstory.com. Go to rawstory.com. That's where I picked this up. And you can click on the Clinton among most feared possible presidential candidates. What is it with fear and frightening and all this these days? You know, whatever happened to hope and faith and all this? You know, it scares me. It scares me that there's so much fear. Wait a minute. Okay, well, maybe that's a double positive, negative, I don't know. Anyway, point being is that the only thing to fear, ladies and gentlemen, is fear itself, especially when it comes to Hillary Clinton. Now, let's look at some of the, you know, this is the thing that I always tell people, too, that if you are scared about what George Bush is doing now, and you're a Republican, imagine how scared you're going to be when Hillary Clinton's doing it as the next president. I don't know that she's going to be elected, and I really don't know that I completely support that. I'm not going to get into who's going to win and who. This is 2006. Let's worry about who's going to get elected to the Congress first. Then we can worry about who's going to get elected to the president. One thing at a time, ladies and gentlemen. One thing at a time. The other thing, too, is that apparently Microsoft today is announcing that Bill Gates intends to step down in 2 years? Huh. Okay. That's some pretty good notice you're giving there, Bill. 2 years, huh? Okay. While the rest of us are given 2 weeks, Bill Gates decides he's going to give 2 years notice to leave Microsoft. Okay. Welcome to corporate America. The United Corporated States of America. Incorporated States of America. You are listening to the Bruce Burch Radio Program. You can get in on the show by dialing 1-877-443-2366. 1-877, the number 4, head on. The show is being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network and sponsored by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream. You can also send me an email if you want to get in touch with me that way, because that's the alternative method. Bruce@BruceBurch.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back here in just a moment. Later on in the program, we're going to have Craig Aaron from Free Press to talk about net neutrality. I'll be right back.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It was one against, I don't know, probably 10. By the time they were done, his neck was red.
Oh, I am afraid to go to high school.
It scares me.
I have a knife and you don't, ha 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 ha.
There was this kid that was like 17, or he came to a school with a gun.
We didn't know if it was fake or real.
Our children need our help to deal with tough issues, like violence. Please, talk with your kids.
For a free booklet, call 1-800-CHILD-44. Brought to you by the Kaiser Family Foundation, Children Now, and the Ad Council.
Planet Check. Planet Check.
He's the granola Ayatollah of canola. Charles Ford, founder of Grassoline Solutions, explains.
I just started writing rhymes while I was farming and doing the eco thing, so that's kind of how this all came about.
Ford spits the truth.
Now, Rudolph Diesel was no weasel, this we know to be true. He was an engineer and a humanitarian, too. He made it possible for us to drive on vegetable fuel. Nobody told you that, well, that's what I'm trying to do. It was back around the turn of last century when Dr. Diesel offered up this opportunity. Corn, soy, chicken, fat, some flour, flax, hemp, seed. Farmers could grow their own fuel, not only their feed. Small towns can be self-sufficient about their energy needs without drilling or selling or paying a fee. It's like that.
Biodiesel reduces cancer-causing emissions by 75%. For more eco-wrap and all the 411 on biodiesel,
Grassoline.com. Check us out.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Traffic. All this traffic. When will it end? Doesn't it seem like there are more cars on the road every day?
As our population continues to grow, our daily commute isn't the only thing changing. Rapid population growth around the world threatens our quality of life in other ways. It endangers the environment, economic development, even the future health of our children. U.S. support for voluntary family planning programs worldwide improves everyone's quality of life and helps slow population growth. Find out how you can help increase support for these crucial programs. We're Population Action International, working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Birch Radio program being brought to you under the auspices of the Head On Radio Network. You know, we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about net neutrality, internet neutrality. And I just wanted to bring this to you because it looks like this is one of those articles that is very much related. And the House of Representatives already has voted against rules that would forbid high-speed internet providers such as AT&T and Comcast from charging extra for priority access to their networks. Now, Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, the Hulk, you know, this guy, he likes to wear, every time he's going to go do battle on the floor of the Senate, he wears a Hulk tie. Anyway, he says that, quote, "I believe we'll have a similar vote on the floor of the Senate on net neutrality," end quote. Some high-speed internet providers have said charging for priority access is necessary to justify the huge investments in their networks. Internet companies such as Google, Yahoo, and eBay, however, say net neutrality is needed to ensure continuing online innovation. So you have Comcast, and you have AT&T, and you have Verizon, and whoever else. Probably Time Warner as well. I'm not sure if they're on the list of bad internet companies. They're on the one side saying they need to have extra money to do extra infrastructure building, and Google, Yahoo, and eBay on the other hand are saying, well, no, we don't really need to have the extra money to do this. We've got plenty of money, and actually, innovation perhaps might not even be something that is needed, or money may not even be needed as much for innovation as it is. You know, and I got to tell you, you know, and we're going to be talking to Craig Aaron here from Free Press here in a little while, after the bottom of the hour. But you know, I got to tell you, I have been on the net myself, had a presence on the internet since 1994, back in the good old days when you didn't even have banner ads. I mean, it was like, you know, text and ask, you know, ASCII 2 characters, AFC 22 or ASC2 characters, you know, where people would make these drawings out of text characters. And, you know, they spent ungodly amount of hours working on these really interesting pictures that they would do in text. Now, at that time, there wasn't, I mean, you know, you had a lot of educational institutions online, and some of the major nonprofit organizations were online. Not as many, you know, for-profit corporations. AOL had a budding community. I remember AOL 2.0. I don't know where it is now, but, you know, I actually had an AOL account at one time, long time ago. You know, and it was a different thing than it is now. The internet was a different thing, and you know, one would say that I would like to say that it was better. However, I really don't think so, because the innovation, the ability to get content now via the internet, has grown into a place where you can get video, you can get audio. If I, you know, as a radio show host, if I want to go out, if I want to find the audio for a speech that George Bush gave, and I don't know, let's say India, to talk about, I don't know, mangoes, and maybe trading mangoes for nukes like he did back in March, I could go out on the internet and find that speech and bring it right here, cut it, dice it, slice it, and bring it to you to listen on your computer stream. You know, matter of fact, this radio show program probably would not have even existed had it not been for the internet. So right here at the Head On Radio Network, we are very much in favor of net neutrality. We are very, very much in favor of, you know, you, the consumer, the listener, the person who is on the internet going out and looking for things, that, you know, you want to, you know, that you're interested in. We want you to be able to have free and easy access to that, free and easy beyond what you already pay to get on the internet for your access to your local company, whatever that is. I'm, you know, my friend Peter tells me we need to trade mangoes for bandwidth. Oh yes, I wish we could do that. Wish we could do that. But that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit in a little bit. And you know, and I got to tell you, I really, you know, having been online as long as I have and seen the growth and the proliferation. I mean, I remember a time where chat rooms. Now we have Java chat rooms and. I remember a time when it was HTML chat rooms and the page would refresh about every 5 seconds. And there would, you know, and, you know, it's just, you know, it was a very jerky, unwieldy, not very entertaining thing, you know. I mean, you know, to get email was great, to go out on AOL. I think AOL had and IRC did a lot of internet relay chat back then, on Undernet and Dialnet and all those. You know, but the net has really blossomed into something else entirely today. And to provide you with an example of that, number one, this radio network is internet-based radio, okay? Internet-based radio. And the difference in the demographic of people that listen to this rather than listen to the over-the-air radio is completely different. These people listen in 3-hour blocks. The people who listen to this radio probably listen in larger blocks than that most of the time. The people who listen to over-the-air radio may flip it around and they go from here to there, they might catch you for 10 minutes, they may not. They may catch, you know, as soon as a commercial comes up, they may flip you, you know, flip you off. They may not. But, you know, the point being is that this is a different dynamic and it's a different kind of demographic of people that are involved here. The other thing about the internet, too, that is amazing to me or another wonderful innovation is we have people now. There are television stations or video, online video stations that are popping up. Politics TV, for instance. Politics TV is America Block. John Aravosis, that's his deal. We also have, you know, the who is it? Bill Maher. Bill Maher recently decided to do an online television program. I think it's sponsored by Amazon. And we're going to see this grow and grow and grow. And that's why I believe that the Head On Radio Network is right on the cusp of we're on the progressive edge of progressive radio is where we are, because at some point. I believe very firmly that the delivery method for entertainment is going to be from here. You know, it's going to be from this kind of medium, and you know, from the internet. You guys are going to get, you know, you're going to plug up one cable, you'll have access to your television, to your telephone, to the internet, to what else? Let's see, what else? To psychic readings, to 1-900 I love you, God. To another few things. Okay. But I just wanted to let you know that we'll be doing that now. It's about 27 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Today we're talking about net neutrality. We have a couple people on hold, but please do hold on because I'm going to be taking a guest right at the bottom of the hour. So stick around and we'll get you on as soon as possible. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
Find as she could be. When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kit, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hello, this is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio program here on the Head On Radio Network, and as I was talking about going out in that break there, I was talking about net neutrality, and joining us on the radio program this afternoon, we have Craig Aaron, and Craig is the communications director for Free Press, which is a nonpartisan think tank in Washington, D.C., and that works and fights to try to make our ability to have neutrality on the internet a reality. Craig Aaron, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's great to have you on the show. Now, Craig, first of all, you know, just to sort of enlighten folks, I think I told the truth a little bit ago about what net neutrality is, but give us a quick rundown of what net neutrality is and why it's important.
Sure. Well, network neutrality is essentially internet freedom. Network neutrality is a guiding principle that has always been part of the internet that ensures when you get online, you can go wherever you want, do whatever you want, watch whatever you want, download whatever you want, as long as you're not doing anything illegal and as long as you aren't harming the network. It essentially ensures that all data, whether it's from the smallest blog or the biggest corporation, is treated just the same.
So essentially, this is basically democracy at work, or democracy on the internet.
Well, that's the beauty of network neutrality, is it's really made possible an internet where you can start small and dream big. But if you come up with the right idea, if you come up with an interesting story, an interesting program, an innovative new service, you have just as good a chance as the biggest corporation to succeed, to get your message out there. And the beauty of the internet is that it really is a democratic medium, a meritocracy, where millions of people decide, you know, based on what websites they visit, where they listen, and they can find those audiences. Unfortunately, if we do away with network neutrality, which is what the biggest phone and cable companies have in mind, it would really take away that free and open, freely evolving internet and give all of the decision-making power to a room full of telecommunications executives.
Tell me about H.R. 52. Is it H.R. 5252 that was just passed? Or is
that's
that,
right.
Is, that's
a 5252, the COPA Act, as it is known, is a really bad piece of legislation. It's an early Christmas present for the phone companies. Unfortunately,
as if they needed another one.
Yes, exactly. As if they didn't have enough money. If this bill were to get through the whole Congress, it would certainly give them a lot more. And unfortunately, despite really an unprecedented public groundswell of opposition, or really in support of network neutrality and internet freedom, the House decided to vote with the phone companies, with the big high-priced lobbyists, and they did pass this bill, H.R. 5252, last week, and without any meaningful or enforceable protections for this guiding principle of the free and open internet.
Why? Let me ask you this, Greg. You know, I know that it's not really that it's not really written into policy anywhere that the phone companies have to, or any other communications companies for that matter, because the cable companies are also, you know, providing internet as well. But you know, there's nothing out there that says that they have to provide their content, all the content that is available to their customers. I read something recently that Comcast was actually limiting access to Craigslist. Is that where this started, or you know?
Well, not exactly, but there have been a number of instances. Actually, Cox Cable, that for a couple months, people were having a hard time getting the Craigslist. And of course, they said, "Oh, it's just a technical glitch." But these kind of mysterious technical glitches are the kind of thing we can expect a lot more of if we get rid of network neutrality. Suddenly, people who use internet phone service might find that their service that competes with an AT&T or a Verizon doesn't work so well. People trying to go to a site like YouTube might find that the quality of downloads and the speed isn't working quite as well as the Comcast version of movies that they want to download. The real problem here is that network neutrality has always been part of the internet. You can talk to folks like Vint Cerf, who was the guy who really invented the internet, the TCP/IP protocol, out at Stanford, I believe. When he set out to invent the internet, he wanted a neutral network. Tim Berners-Lee, who is the British scientist who invented the World Wide Web, he wanted it to be a neutral network where everybody could be treated the same, because what that did is it forced the innovation to the edges. It made it so that an Israeli high school student could invent instant messaging and could suddenly become nearly ubiquitous, certainly among the younger generation. It was a couple of graduate students in their garage came up with Google. Now many of us go there dozens of times a day. These were not innovations, weren't coming from the big companies that owned the wires. They were coming from the outside. And because of network neutrality, they had a chance to start small but attract a bigger and bigger audience. You know, the blog revolution would have been impossible without network neutrality, as probably would be shows like this. You know, we wouldn't be able to ever hear them streamed on the internet simply because they haven't figured out at the phone companies how to necessarily make money, even though there's a big audience out there looking for, this kind of programming.
Sure. Well, the other question that was one of the things I talked about a little bit before I brought you on the air probably 15, 20 minutes ago, was that there seems to be this, and it's actually the argument on the telecom side is the same argument that you're hearing on the Google side, which is that, we need to have the money to create even larger infrastructure to because of the demands of the innovation.
Sure. Sure. My answer to that, as far as that, is that you shouldn't feel really bad for the big telephone and cable companies. These are vastly profitable companies with a lot of money, and as is Google and Amazon. Like, don't get me wrong. Google and Amazon, if this law goes against them, will find plenty of ways to pay into the fast lane. The problem is it's the next generation. It's the new products that we haven't even thought of that will never be able to clear those high barriers to entry to get a spot with the highest quality of service that the phone companies are going to reserve for their own products and those of their corporate partners. These are the same companies that have accepted literally billions of dollars in public subsidies and tax breaks over the years, always promising if they could just have a few more regulations removed, that would bring about the lower prices, that would bring broadband to everybody. But here we are. The United States has fallen to 16th in the world. The cable and phone companies dominate 98% of the market for broadband access, and yet something like 60% of Americans can't either receive broadband internet in their communities or they simply can't afford it. So now these companies that have brought us to this point want to be able to undercut their competition in the content markets, and that is just bad news for consumers, and that is why every major consumer group in the country has come out for network neutrality and against this plan being put forth by the cable and telephone companies. I mean, let's look at AT&T. AT&T is about to spend $67 billion to try to swallow up Bell South in one of these mega mergers, you know, almost reconstituting Ma Bell. Verizon, the other big player, is about to spend $37 billion to buy out their partner in Verizon Wireless. Now, with that $100-plus billion, we could build high-speed fiber lines to every home in the country. And yet they say they can't afford to improve services and roll things out. It's just not true. If we have network neutrality, the phone and cable companies will be able to compete just like they always have, and they'll be able to make money just like they always have by charging individuals to get online, by charging companies to get online. It's a myth that these companies are not paying to get online. In fact, as anyone with a blog or a website that gets any traffic, you know, you're not paying $50 a month to host your blog or host your website. And if you're Google, you're paying millions and millions of dollars every year to make sure that, you know, all your massive computers can get online. And the other thing they're going to be able to do is they're going to be able to create products and services that actually compete. See, the reason they want to get rid of network neutrality is it prevents them from having to innovate and compete and lower their prices to compete with a Google or a Vonage or a Skype. If they can manipulate the data, they can put their stuff front and center on the internet. They don't have to worry about the competition because they're going to be able to cut them off, keep them out of the fast lane, and force them onto sort of a winding dirt road, if you will.
I also read something recently about about tiering.
Yeah.
Having two different tiers of internet, et cetera. What do you know about that?
Well, that's the model, and you know they'll say. They've made it very clear. Ed Whitaker, the head of AT&T, and Ivan Seidenberg, the head of Verizon, and a number of the other big executives have gone out to their stockholders, they've gone out to the business press, and they've said, we want to create an internet based on discrimination. We want to divide the information superhighway. The way they see it is right now, you know, you and I pay our price every month to get on the internet, and these companies pay a lot more to get on the internet so that we can find them. And in between, the phone companies would like to set up, even though they're already making all this money from those connections, they want to set up a toll booth in the middle. And on that toll booth, they want to divide it into tiers. On one side will be an express lane, a higher tier. This will offer faster service, high quality. Soon enough, you know, you'll be able to download a movie in 5 minutes. Crystal clear connections, you know, a lot faster speeds. They want to reserve that just for their own products and those put out by their big corporate partners. And they want to force all the rest of the internet, they want to kind of freeze it in place and push that off onto, you know, well, like I said, a winding dirt road, a crowded dirt road. So you're going to have two tiers of service, but instead of having competition on that higher tier, instead of having, you know, several choices for video, lots of choices for phone service, your choices are going to be limited to what these gatekeepers, the phone and cable companies, want to allow up there. And the problem is that in the long run, that's going to really hurt the individual consumer because they're not going to be able to afford, other companies are not going to be able to afford to get in there and compete. And any kind of independent content, blogs, they're never going to be able to enjoy the same high quality service. But with network neutrality, potentially any website is almost a television network. You know, as these technologies advance, you know, if you have the interesting enough content, if you have an innovative enough service, you have the chance to, you know, be the next Google, be the next Amazon. You get rid of that, get rid of network neutrality, and create a tiered internet, you'll end up with, you know, kind of what we have now, and then a tier that looks a lot like cable TV, where a select group of companies pick the channels, they pick the programs, they pick your choices, but it's not the free, wide open, freely evolving internet that we've always had.
Okay. Craig, can you hang on with me while we take a break?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm talking with Craig Aaron of Free Press, and Craig is the communications director there. We're talking about net neutrality. This is the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
Childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycle shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
In New York.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. Wanted to we've been talking with Craig Aaron, who is the communications director of Free Press, about net neutrality. Craig, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, great. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. First of all, tell me about the status of any bills that might be pending regarding, that would be there to ensure net neutrality.
Sure. Well, unfortunately, the House did pass a big telecommunications bill last week, the COPE Act, without protecting network neutrality. But that's really just the beginning of this fight in a lot of ways. And the Senate is right in the middle of considering their own massive bill, a bill introduced by Senator Ted Stevens, that would rewrite a lot of telecommunications laws. As it's written right now, it does not include protections for network neutrality or Internet freedom. However, there is a very good bill that has been introduced by, it's a bipartisan bill, fortunately, and it was introduced by Senators Olympia Snowe of Maine and Byron Dorgan of North Dakota. It is called the Internet Freedom Preservation Act. It's a Senate Bill 2917, and that bill, as soon as a week from today, will be introduced as an amendment in the Senate Commerce Committee, and if passed, would offer real meaningful protections for the free and open Internet. So we are strongly urging everyone out there to contact their senators, especially if they're one of the 22 senators on the Commerce Committee, but even if they're not, all senators, and urging them to support the Snowe-Dorgan Bill 2917, which would offer real protection for Internet freedom. Now, that won't be the end of it. Depending on what happens, you know, that bill, whole bill, would have to still go to the floor of the Senate and also the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. Patrick Leahy of Vermont in particular, but also possibly Arlen Specter, have been talking about getting involved in this issue as well, because it does raise some pretty serious antitrust concerns. So there's a lot of fight still to be had on this issue, despite the House vote last week. But the next key thing will happen in the Senate Commerce Committee, and the Snowe-Dorgan Amendment is really what we're urging everyone to get their senators to support.
Okay, that's actually was going to be my next question was, how can people get involved?
what they should do, I encourage them to go to savetheinternet.com. It's a website that we at Free Press have been helping to coordinate. It represents a coalition of over 700 groups, and there's a lot of good information, easy-to-understand information up on the site, as well as some direct links of ways to take action. There's a petition there people can add their names to. Already a million Americans from across the country have already signed this petition and sent letters. Allow you to send letters directly to your representatives and senators. Also, if you put in your zip code, it'll automatically generate all the phone numbers you need to call the Senate. So I would really encourage people to go to savetheinternet.com, or if they've already got those numbers handy, to just call those Senate offices right away. To protect the Internet as we know it, we're going to need literally millions of people to contact Senate in the weeks ahead.
Well, definitely, we will plug that. Are there any? Do you guys have any PSAs there?
We do. We got a whole new batch about to go up in the next couple of days, and I'll be sure to share them with you. Also,
absolutely,
a whole group of great videos. These are not the sort of fake videos that the industry's been putting out there, but these are just videos that, you know, individuals concerned about this issue. Some of them are comedians, some of them are serious, have put together, and I think a lot of your listeners would definitely enjoy them. So I urge them to go to savetheinternet.com and check them out.
Okay. Most definitely will do that. And, the last thing I really wanted to ask you, though, is just as a very, to take us out of the conversation, give us a bird's eye view of what the Internet might look like without net neutrality, sort of the worst-case scenario.
Well, the worst-case scenario is going to be where you go online and you try to find the websites that you've always enjoyed, and all of a sudden you find out that maybe they don't load right or they load incredibly slowly. And so you stop going. You can't find the content you're looking for. But meanwhile, the biggest corporate media sites work just fine, lightning fast, straight to your desktop. And you find that the Internet has looked a lot less like the free open Internet we've always had and a lot more like your cable television system, where there's a narrow menu of choices. They're all owned by the same small set of companies. And what is become really an unparalleled environment for democratic participation, for free speech, for economic innovation, now just looks like cable TV. And I think that's what we have at risk if we don't protect the Internet today.
Sure. So people can get a hold of you by going to SaveTheInternet.com. Is there a toll-free number? Now they need to call their senators. They need to and specifically the bill number was again?
It's Senate Bill 2917, the Internet Freedom Preservation Act. And they can get all of that information, or if they do want to make a phone call, they can contact us at Free Press by calling 877-888-1533.
Okay. Craig Aaron, thank you so much for joining me today on the program, and I definitely want to have you back in the future sometime soon. Maybe we'll talk about this again in a few weeks.
Oh, that'd be great. Anytime. My pleasure.
Okay, Craig. Have a great afternoon. And that was Craig Aaron of Free Press. Now, if you want to get if you want to get involved with that, and if you are a proponent of Internet neutrality, which I certainly hope you are, unless you want to pay out the wazoo and to get only limited content, please do go to SaveTheInternet.com and go check that out. Craig gave us some wonderful information there about what you need to do. You know, go to SaveTheInternet.com, go to FreePress.net, and you can get all the information you need about how to be armed and for bear, because we know all those folks in Washington are bears. We're going to take an early top of the hour break and do our news, and we'll be back. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention because, you know what, pretty soon if we don't do our part to keep the Internet free and available, the problem is that the first thing we'll see is limited website availability. And then perhaps we'll even see a different tiering. You'll be able to get certain content for a certain amount of money. And then from there on, you know, it's just going to be about, again, classism, if you will, if you want to call it there, classism applied to the Internet, which has thus far been a very level playing field for all of those who want to have content online. And not the least of which is, of course, this network. So, you know, we are definitely... very much in favor of this, very much in favor of having an Internet that is free and available to all of us. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll take your phone calls and take some other stuff and talk about this and that and the other. You listen to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It is about 3 minutes before the hour, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
We are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
That's fine, sir. You have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
Dog attacks and dog bites come in all sizes. Think your dog doesn't bite? Don't be so sure. Dog attacks are one of the nation's most commonly reported public health problems. Francia Smith, consumer advocate for the U.S. Postal Service.
With the summer heat and children out of school, the dog bite risk gets worse. But with a little care, dog owners can prevent most attacks and protect themselves, too, from the serious legal, financial, and emotional consequences that often result. Over half the dog bite victims are children. Any dog can bite for the first time, even with the owner there. So whether you are a dog owner or not, please take the time to learn about dog safety. Visit USPS.com and type the words dog bite into the search box for the links you need. You'll be glad you did.
This message is provided as a public service by this station and the U.S. Postal Service.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
This is the Quality News Network. Stocks rallied on Wall Street today for the second day in a row. We'll have the closing numbers for you at the end of our newscast. On Capitol Hill, the Senate has rejected a call to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq by the end of the year. House Republicans say a victory there is vital to the global war on terror. Also on Capitol Hill, President Bush is poised to sign a $94.5 billion spending bill. Of that amount, $66 billion would be spent on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, while about $20 billion would go toward reconstructing the Gulf Coast. In Washington, military officials say the man who claims to be the new head of al-Qaeda in Iraq is an Egyptian explosives expert. He reportedly received his training in Afghanistan and has worked closely with Osama bin Laden's deputy. In Afghanistan, 8 workers on their way to work at a U.S. military base died and 17 were wounded when a bomb hit their minibus today. Meanwhile, 10,000 U.S.-led coalition forces are in the midst of the largest offensive since the 2001 fall of the Taliban. The Supreme Court has ruled that police who have warrants can enter homes without knocking first and seize evidence, but the ruling was not unanimous. A dissenting vote states that the decision goes against court precedent and weakens constitutional protections. At the White House, President Bush has signed into law a bill that raises the fines for indecent broadcasts. Radio and television stations now face a $325,000 fine per violation for material that exceeds the bounds of decency. Later today, President Bush is expected to announce the creation of the world's largest marine protected area. It covers a group of remote Hawaiian islands spanning 84 million acres. It's home to 7,000 species of birds, fish, and marine mammals. Over the next 5 years, commercial fishing and other uses will be phased out. In Flagstaff, Arizona, fire crews are battling wildfires amid severe drought conditions. Hundreds of residents have been evacuated in Arizona and Colorado. Last night, fire crews managed to stop a 150-acre wildfire before it moved into a residential area. In Indonesia, rescuers are digging through debris to reach people trapped when the country's most volatile volcano finally erupted today. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
Bill Gates is handing over the reins of the day-to-day operation of Microsoft to his chief technical officer. He says he plans to focus more energy on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Last week, the number of newly laid off workers who filed for unemployment fell to the lowest level in nearly 4 months. It was down to 295,000. The Federal Reserve reports that industrial production fell last month. Output at U.S. factories, mines, and utilities was down 0.1%. There was also a slowdown in the auto industry, appliances, and other big-ticket items. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says energy prices will probably remain high. He adds that those prices will need to be watched closely since they also affect the prices of other goods and services. Higher fuel costs are also prompting higher ticket prices at many of the major airlines. For example, Delta has increased the one-way domestic fare for its first-class and walk-up tickets by $50. United Airlines has announced plans to cut at least 1,000 jobs by the end of the year. That represents nearly 2% of the entire workforce. Google is making it easier to search federal government websites. The company is launching a one-stop shop to make it easier to navigate those sites and even customize updates. Light sweet crude settled at $69.50 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 198 points, NASDAQ up 58, S&P 500 up 26. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Welcome back to second hour of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. This is Bruce Birch, and we are being brought to you on the Head On Radio Network. And if you want to get on the program, you can do that. You can dial 1-877-443-2366. And I do believe we have our good friend Jim on line one. Jim, how are you doing?
Hey, Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Listen,
better than I deserve.
Can you? Well, I doubt that. Can you give me the Senate number of those bills, please?
Oh my goodness, you're going to ask me that? I didn't write it down when I was talking. I'll go look at it. You can go to SaveTheInternet.com, though, if you want to, Jim.
No problem. You know,
and
I
check that out.
Back in the old days when the internet began as the ARPANET.
Mm-hmm.
With DOD, and then subdivided into the CISNET and BizNet, and then, you know, was limited just between agencies and government agencies and DOD and certain universities. And but I remember my first experience in working with it was in 1980 when I worked for the Army, and we used something called PLATO, Plan Learning Automated Teaching Operations, and used it as an education tool. And we could term talk and stuff like that. So, you know, this has been around a long time.
Certainly has. I was looking at some of the origins of the Internet before you came on, and it looks like to me that the first TCP/IP wide area of network was operational by January 1st, 1983, when the United States National Science Foundation constructed a university network backbone that would later become NSFNet.
See, and ARPANET was established in 69.
Yeah, that was the Advanced Research Projects Agency, right?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, you know, it's something that I guess these private phone companies and telecommunications industries would love to get into, wouldn't they?
Well, it's you know, yet another example of privatization, Jim. I mean, you know,
And it would hurt, and it definitely would hurt what you guys are trying to do here with your head-on radio programs through it, too.
Well,
I
think so.
They would try to target that, would it not? Excuse me.
Well, I think it has the potential to, Jim. I think that the reality of the situation is that if, let's say, Yahoo Yahoo and Google and Amazon are on the neutrality side of the debate right now, But let's say they decide they want to offer content like conversation radio or talk radio content, and they get a bunch of hosts. And what they do is just simply start filtering IP addresses so that if you are, you know, on their service, that you can't get Head On Radio Network IP address. The only thing you can get is something that's a Yahoo based IP address. I mean, it has, and I can see where it would be very easy for some of the internet companies to be able to do that. So I think this has potential for great squelching of free speech, great squelching of dissent, you know, and filtering of content.
Well, I'm sure the current powers that be would love to see that happen.
I totally think so. And the other part of this that I think that people are kind of, I mean, it's this is one of those things that I've been hearing about it sort of off to the side. You know, until, you know, just recently when I went to the Take Back America conference in D.C. and happened to stumble across a couple of people who were involved in this and realized, I mean, it just dawned on me, wait a minute, Head On Radio Networks, you know, we're in a position where we need to be, you know, out in the forefront of this. And not only that, but you know, every person who gets online and wants to go out and look up pictures, you know, of their vacation, you know, out in, you know, they want to go find pictures of somewhere they're going, or they want to go and find certain documents or whatever it is they want to do, should have the ability to do that without having some other corporate, you know, board telling them, well, you can't do that because we don't own that, so we won't let you there.
Well, you know, their movements certainly are to are very proprietary, and, you know, which is totally against the internet as it exists today. And
sure,
when you start that, you know, you really are losing most of what your internet's all about, in my opinion.
Well, I agree, and I think that this has the potential to, again, I mean, it's all about making money and charging more to make more from something that's already existing. You know,
just imagine what prices, like pricing. Have they projected any price increases or price tags on this should it happen?
There is actually, if you go to savetheinternet.com, there was a page that I was linked to that showed an example price index that I think Verizon was looking at for tiered internet systems. So go to the savetheinternet.com website, and I believe there's a link down the right hand side of the page called the tiered internet and virtual redefining.
Uh-huh.
And that tells you they're talking about, you know, different speed packages of, you know, for one thing. And then also different, you know, if you want to have access to everything, they can give you, you know, they charge you $40. And if you only want to have access to, you know, certain amount of stuff, then you can, I mean, you know, then you pay $20. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of ways that they can tier and create levels of internet, which I was, you know, saying earlier is basically, injecting classism into the internet.
Oh yeah, and you can be rest assured each 6 months or so, each price for each individual tier will increase arithmetically, if not geometrically, you know?
Exactly.
Well, listen, my friend, thank you for having your buddy on there, and I will definitely look at the site, and I will call both my senators for what good it will do.
Okay. Well, please do. Thank you, Jim, and, you know, and we'll hear from you soon.
All right, buddy, you take it easy. Have a good afternoon.
Have a great afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, bud.
You're welcome. And that's our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location in the somewhere in the hinterlands of West Virginia. And it looks like to me that you know, that this kind of situation could change the face of how we surf. And I dare say that there is a certain amount of partitioning, to use another computer term. There's a certain amount of partitioning that seems to be occurring in advance of perhaps some innovative breakthroughs that maybe we're not even aware of. Maybe this is the telecom and the internet companies creating, you know, laying the table, if you will, for some sort of innovative breakthrough that they want to bring to us. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I do know, however, that we do have free and open lines right now. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email if you're so inclined to bruce@brucebirch.com if this issue is important to you. You know, we'd like to hear from you. Or any other issue that seems to be crossing your plate today that you feel like is something needs to be talked about. You know where to do it. You know where to call. You know we're here. One of the things that I talked about before we got into the net neutrality thing was this poll about Hillary Clinton naming her as the most frightening 2008 contender for the president, for the office of president. And I got to tell you, you know, there is one person more scary, and you know, and you'll hear about that person after we take our break. You are listening to the Head On Radio Network, Bruce Birch Radio Program. If you want to get on the show, you can dial it 1-877 the number 4 Head On. I'll be right back.
Go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Society where there's diversity, we all learn from each other in the sense of understanding each other's beliefs and cultures in society, respecting that.
When you meet people who are different from you, the biggest thing you can do is learn from them.
There's a long way to go for disabled people to feel part of a larger community, and I'm starting to feel like I'm included, especially in the university setting.
I don't put the responsibility completely to other people, but I think I had a responsibility to feel included. That's what has made me a difference in my life.
A little niceness can go a long way. One life at a time, one person at a time, we will make a difference.
We were studying Martin Luther King Jr., and one of his quotes was, "We must learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or perish together as fools."
Together, I know we will make a difference.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORAKID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. My name is Bruce Birch, and I'm your host. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. We're talking about net neutrality, and I'm going to slip away from that topic unless you call me and want to bring it back up. I want to slip away from that topic and take a look at some of the top news that's going on around the world at this point, and perhaps give you a head up on some of the things since you've chosen to listen to this program instead of to the news, since it is about 6:20, and most places, at least on the East Coast, the news is up and going and all that good stuff. You know, Bill Gates today decided that he wanted to step down from Microsoft, but it looks like he's not going to do it today. He's going to do it in a couple of years. Apparently, he has separation anxiety. Mr. Gates does, and not only, you know, and following along, sort of like a, you know, speaking of separation anxiety, if you will, Colorado decided that it wants to allow 15-year-old girls to enter into common law marriages. It wants to allow that. The three judge panel stopped short of setting a specific minimum age for common law marriages, but it said they could be legal for girls at 12 and boys at 14 under English common law, which Colorado recognizes. The ruling overturned a lower court judge's decision that a girl who is now older than 18 was too young to marry when she was 15. The panel said that there was no clear legislative or statutory guidance on common law marriages and that Colorado courts have not determined an age of consent. Colorado is one of 10 states, plus the District of Columbia, that recognize common law marriage, which is based on English law dating back hundreds of years. For a traditional ceremonial marriage, Colorado law sets the minimum age at 18 or 16 with parental or judicial approval. So, if you don't get married, you can. I guess I'm a little confused here. Statutory rape laws don't exist in Colorado. I mean, I'm thinking if a girl can enter into a live-in relationship with a male at 12 years old. And a judge, the courts uphold that that's a common law marriage. At what point does statutory rape laws take precedence? And, oh my God, this just blows my mind. All right, going back to the news, if you're 15 years old and you want to get married, go to Colorado. You want to go into a common law marriage, go to Colorado. That's the place to do it. Now, along those lines as well, unlicensed midwives have gotten some prison terms down in Florida. Linda McGlade, 54, and her daughter-in-law, Tanya McGlade, 26, were found guilty in April in the death of another daughter-in-law, Mara McGlade. This is an all-in-the-family kind of situation. She died of internal bleeding 2 days after delivering a healthy boy at home in 2004. Prosecutors said that when the woman showed signs of complications, fellow church members prayed before calling for help 2 hours later. Oh, my God, I can feel my hackles getting raised right now. The defendants said they never claimed to be midwives, a profession regulated by the state. They said they merely attended an unassisted home birth, which is legal. But Circuit Judge Edward Nicholas noted that they checked the heart rate of the fetus, delivered oxygen to the mother, and examined the placenta. Okay. The church members prayed before calling for help. Four, not 2 days, not 2 minutes, not 2 hours, 4 hours later. 4 hours later. Prosecutions for unlicensed midwifery in the United States are rare, although recently a woman in Indiana pleaded guilty after she helped deliver a child last year who died as a result of pooled blood in the head and a lack of oxygen. Okay, look. All right. You religious folks out there, I just want to throw this one at you. Just because you believe in God does not make you a medical professional. Okay? I appreciate that you believe in God, and I appreciate very much that you have that belief system and that it works for you. However, it does not give you the right to play God. It does not give you the right to go out and birth babies when you have no freaking idea what you're doing. All right? Okay, there's the rant of the afternoon. Also, out there in the world today, the Flag Amendment and the politics up there on Capitol Hill, the Senate Judiciary Committee gave a nod to a constitutional amendment to protect the American flag from desecration, moving it to the Senate floor where vote counters on both sides say it could be within one vote of passing. The 11-7 vote sent the amendment to the floor. Majority Leader Bill Frist, R, from Tennessee, Republican. Well, Bill Frist, the ape guy, has said that the measure will get a Senate vote this month to be considered during the patriotic season between this week's Flag Day and the 4th of July. The amendment's substance and timing is designed to appeal to veterans during this year of midterm elections. The Congress shall have power to prohibit the physical desecration of the flag of the United States, end quote. The amendment reads, to become the Constitution's 28th Amendment, the language must be approved by two-thirds of those present in each chamber, then ratified within 7 years by at least 38 state legislatures. The House a year ago passed the bill 286-130, well over the required two-thirds of those present to pass. Vote counters on both sides of the issue say the amendment has commitments of support from 66 senators, one fewer than the required 67. You're listening to the Bruce Burch radio program where we appreciate the flag by upholding freedom. Come on back. We'll be back here in just a minute.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. What's it going to take to close down Guantanamo Bay? It should have been closed long ago if Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and Gonzalez had any respect for international law and for human rights, and it definitely should be closed now after the suicides of three detainees. The response from the U.S. military has been anything but sympathetic. The camp commander, Rear Admiral Harry Harris, called their suicides an act of asymmetrical warfare waged against us. The inmates, he said, have no regard for life, neither ours nor their own. That's a nice condolence call. General Vance Craddock, head of Southern Command, wasn't much better. He said the suicides were also a mere tactic. This may be an attempt to influence the judicial proceedings in the Hamden case, he said, which is before the Supreme Court. That case will determine what rights detainees have to challenge military tribunals down there. If the commanders are so smart, why don't they release the suicide notes the detainees left behind? Then we can find out, in their own words, why they committed suicide. The commanders can't admit that the conditions of Guantanamo itself are to blame. The fact that detainees in Guantanamo have been kept in a legal netherworld for 5 years now. The fact that they've been abused. They've been denied their basic rights. They've been left to bake in the sun. Because to admit that would be to confess to the war crimes the U.S. has been committing at Guantanamo. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kit, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. And we decided they can't do that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice. The Holy Trinity. So now I got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Awful crew, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Pearl Harbor, too. Across the sweep of human history, there's a truth they never tell. There's more horror in obedience than there'd be if we'd rebel. So when they speak to you of glory and colors bright and true, and using words like good and evil, say it all comes down to you. When they offer you a weapon and send you out,
all right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio program, and that was a little song by Scott Ainsley, and it's about GI resistance, and there seems to be a considerable amount of GI resistance going on out there, that's happening, we had a first lieutenant at Fort Lewis, Washington, who decided that instead of going to Iraq, he would rather go to the brig. He said, recently that he just... Okay. Instead of going to the war, he would rather go to the brig. And I could be completely wrong with this number, but I think I remember hearing a number recently that said that there was perhaps as many as 4,000 deserters. And that particular number is amazing to me. You know, these are out of who knows how many hundreds of thousands, but you know, that's just incredible to me. Okay. You know, why they are doing it, I don't know. I think we need to get, you know, sort of really take a look at that and to make a decision about why they're doing it. Now we got a few emails from the break there. I'm hearing some music running under me for some reason. But got a few emails over during the break and wanted to bring those to your attention. The first one is from a friend out in Oregon who wanted to bring to my attention something about the web access and net neutrality issue. According to this article at CNET.com, this was posted this morning, so I'm sure you can find it. The title of the article is Web Accessibility Soon Mandatory in Europe. The 25 European Commission member states and 9 accession countries have all signed up for a plan that would make accessibility in e-procurement mandatory. The 34 countries all signed an agreement in Riga, Latvia, on Wednesday, committing themselves to the, quote, Internet for All, unquote, action plan designed to ensure that the most web-disadvantaged groups can get online. The EC has now pledged to increase broadband coverage across the continent to 90% by 2010. Rural areas, they say, are still underserved, with about 60% penetration. Urban areas fare better and are already at the 90% mark. The question of accessibility for disabled people looms large in the EC's plan for inclusion as well. The Commission is studying the possible introduction of mandatory accessibility standards to be in a public procurement to be brought in by 2010. So while here in the United States, we're trying to figure out a way to limit access to the Internet. In Europe, they're trying to figure out ways to make sure that everyone has access to the content on the Internet. Also got an email from our good friend Ron. Ron says, a few points to add to your guest's worst-case scenario. Number one, he mentioned two-tiered access, one fast and one slow. In reality, without net neutrality, it could be a 10 or 20-tiered access. And the greater number of tiers, the worse it would be for those unable to afford the entry price of stepping up. Free blog sites, for example, would almost never be able to get off the ground in terms of readership, no matter how good their content was. Number two, perhaps most importantly, the tiering will start as a charge to content providers, but carriers will quite quickly offer users, for a fee, the option to remove tiering from their own individual accounts. And number three, Ron says, finally, with a diversity of carriers tiering, both content providers and content users may be faced with a myriad of individual charges to fully rid themselves of this tiering. That's right. You know, and I got to tell you, Ron, you're absolutely right. And I could only imagine what my reaction to this would be. I would see this tiering for about a week, and I would go, I hate the computer. And I'd be like, all right, I got to pay whatever I got to pay to make this thing work the way I want it to work. And you know what? I think that the frustration would probably, you know, that these companies are or would be banking on the frustration of myself and of folks like you who would want to have full access to everything online. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Gene, and thank you, Ron, for your emails to the Bruce Birch radio program. All right, so we were looking at head back to the news a little bit. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com, and if you want to comment on the show post on you can go to brucebirch.com comment on the blog post there. And actually the title of the blog today is you know, basically what you would see at the top of a 404 error website page. The page cannot be displayed. So you can go there and check that out if you're so inclined. I'm going to head back over to the news and take a look at a couple of different things that are going on around the country. It apparently looks like that the Capitol Hill, today, that the House erupted in an impassioned election year debate over the Iraq War. Republicans defending the conflict as key to winning the global struggle against terrorism, while Democrats excoriated the president and his policies. Speaker Dennis Hastert, Republican of Illinois, said, quote, "We must stand firm in our commitment to fight terrorism and the evil it inflicts throughout the world. We must renew our resolve that the actions of evildoers will not dictate American policy," end quote. Okay, well, who's dictating American policy then? Because in my mind, the idea that we're in Iraq to fight evildoers and the evildoers are the actions and the actions of the... Okay, maybe I'm just confused. Maybe I'm just confused. Maybe I just don't have the dictionary where I can figure out exactly what those Republicans were trying to say. Maybe someone can send me a dictionary, a Republican dictionary, to understand exactly what Hastert is trying to say. Because you know what? When this happened, actually, if you listen to one of my shows, I think it was either Monday or Tuesday when I was broadcasting live from the Take Back America conference, I was talking to one of the interviewees, and as soon as we get the archives up for those shows, I will be the first to let everyone know. Yeah, just as an aside, once we have the archive up at whiterosesociety.org, I will put a blog post up on my website, brucebirch.com, so you can go and find out, you know, go and download those shows if you want to listen to them if you didn't get a chance to. They're just amazing shows. I interviewed the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee and a couple of Iraq War veterans and some wonderful authors and columnists. Cliff Schechter was one, and just amazing people. Spencer Overton, who has written a book on voting. But in one of the interviews that I was talking about, that I talked with, I think it was one of the Iraq War veterans, one of the things that we were talking about was the fact that that a lot of the troops who are over in Iraq right now really don't know what the hell they're doing there now. I mean, they figure, okay, well, we took Saddam down. We came over here and we kicked ass and took names, et cetera, and now we're still here, and now they have a government in place, and the president even flew in the other day. Well, what are we still doing here? The answer, of course, is that we've got to have a permanent footprint there. Now, I know that the folks on the right are saying, well, as soon as they stand up, we'll stand down. And I don't see that happening. I just don't see it happening. So, you know, if you're, if you're still, you know, interested in supportive, if you will, of that kind of policy, that we're going to take the fight over there so we don't have to fight them here, and we're going to do, you know, just all those cliches, there's no basis in reality for these claims. There just really isn't. You know, and it's difficult to see this happen because as a result, you know, we've got this, you know, these folks, they're still, the Republicans are still claiming the patriotic high ground, saying, oh, well, if you're not supporting the, you know, if you don't support the war, you don't support the troops. And, you know what, folks, that's a bald-faced lie. I'll say it again. That's a bald-faced lie. All right. Now, Iraq was not a haven for terrorists until we took it over. Okay? Why did it become a haven for terrorists once we took it over? That's a good question. Well, the answer may very well lie in the numbers of troops that we committed to this process. Now, when, I think that they've never gone over 200,000 troops there. When at one time, back in 91 with Poppy, old Grandpappy Bush, when old Grandpappy stood there at the border of Kuwait and looked over the sands at Saddam, there were 400,000 troops amassed on the border. So they really didn't take over Iraq with any kind of realistic force, security force to create, if you will, I mean, this is in the beginning now. Now, I'm not saying we need to commit more troops over there at this point. I'm not so sure that I know what the answer is at this point. But from the very beginning, there was poor planning. From the very beginning, there was unrealistic assumptions that were made that created that has created the problem that we're in, the mess that we're in there right now. And the soldiers that are there don't know why the hell they're there. We got soldiers over here going, I ain't going back over there. No, hell no. No, not me. I'm not the one. They come back on leave and they don't want to go back. Why? Because they're seeing their buddies get blown up and they can't figure out why in the hell we're still there. You are listening to me, Yant. Rant and rave and yell and scream and all that good stuff. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Free America. If you want to call in, you can do that. 1-877-443-2366. That's the number. 1-877, the number 4, head on. You can also send me an email if you're so inclined to bruce@brucebirch.com. And looks like we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the final segment of the program. Great to have you with us. We'll be right back.
Radioactive. Michael Franti. Lettuce and LZ in the place.
In the area.
Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We getting wild. Text phone. Just the last word. I don't understand the whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify. And beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs. We heard them all before. You're telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it's idiotic. The tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on your kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother to show it on CNN. Brothers and sisters, don't believe them that it's a war against evil. It's really just revenge.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Close your eyes for a moment and imagine you're away from it all on a remote, unspoiled beach somewhere. Take a deep breath and enjoy the warm sea air. Sunlight streams through the palm trees as gulls call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Lots of experts talk about the ways that schools should inspire students to be creative. How you doing? I'm John Prime. They say that helping young minds tap their creativity is just as important as mastering math or their English skills. And of course, all parents love to experience the joy of seeing and hearing something their child has created. Well, one of the best places creativity is actively encouraged is in music class. There you'll find kids working out a phrase in a choir part, learning technical stuff such as fingerings on an instrument, or even composing and arranging music on computers. Music classrooms are bursting with creative energy just waiting to be explored by young minds. So don't let it go to waste. Support your school music program. Thank you.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Some prayers never reach the sky. Some wounds never heal. They still say someday the South will rise. Man, I want to see that deal.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program.
I don't want to grow old gracefully.
I don't want to grow old gracefully, that's for sure. This is the last segment of the program. It's about 10 minutes before the hour. Coming up right after this show, Bob Kincaid with Head On. Bob, it's let me just give you the name of the show because I don't want you to get confused. It's Head On with Bob Kincaid. He's right up next, and I'm sure he's going to have a rant-alicious show for you this evening. Also, the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com website is back up and running. It apparently was down for a couple hours this afternoon. There was a, from what I understand, there was a pretty severe web hiccup or something along those lines that happened with some of our servers. So it's back up. Go ahead and get into the chat room. Go start chatting away and doing what you do there, and I'll be in there in a little while after the show's over with. Let's see, what else? Yes, that's right. If you want to get in on the show, well, you know, it's a little bit late at this point. But if you want to get in and get into the queue for the Rantalicious Bob Kincaid show, you can dial 1-877, the number 4, Head On. That'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network, where all of these wonderful programs are coming out of. The Guy James Show, Bruce Birch radio program, and Head On with Bob Kincaid every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 in the afternoon until 10 at night. We're here to bring you wonderful progressive programming from real people. That's right, people who have worked for a living, who know the struggles that you're going through on a daily basis. We're here, and we're here for you. Let's head over to the phones. I think my good friend and compadre, Wayne, is on line one. Wayne, how are you doing, man?
Good, Bruce. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing better than I deserve.
Well, I find that hard to believe, because you deserve a lot in my mind. But, you know,
well, thank you.
I don't have anything real specific. I just, well, I've been busy. I haven't been able to listen much, but, you know, I just wanted to call and congratulate you on your new show, and I know it's going to be a success, and, well, I'm just thrilled to death that you're here.
Well, that's very kind. It's great to be on the air at this time of the day. I actually have some energy this time of the day. I've got a little bit more what do you call a chutzpah?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But listen,
I don't even know what the hell that means, but
who the hell cares? You know, it means something. But I got the solution to Iraq.
Shoot it to me, Wayne.
Get out, man. You know, I'm sorry. It's not going to get any better. What I mean, we reached 2,500 today or yesterday?
I believe it was the first part of the week, yeah.
Yeah, and we're up to almost 20,000 severely wounded. You know, too big a price for something we should have never been involved with in the first daggone place, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, they could call me a cut-and-run Democrat or cut-and-run liberal. They could call me whatever they want. I'm interested in saving more people's lives, and not just American GIs, you know. I mean, how many Iraqis? Well, we have created a mess, and, you know, one that will take many, many years to ever resolve, or, and, you know, I don't know if our country will ever live it down, you know. Remember, this was a preemptive war.
That's right.
You know,
I remember when they were making that decision, and just how ominous it felt to be to witness the decision of going to war, you know, first strike, we're going to fight them there so they don't fight us here kind of mentality, you know, and you know, that's unprecedented for a democracy. Democracies don't do that.
No, they do not. And you know, these people, I mean, in their own mind, it's all justified, and, you know, they're ready to do it again. You know, this Iran thing is very scary. You know, I mean, you know, I know things seem to be going well, but, well, these people are, you know what their intentions were in the beginning, and I, you know, to me, they're playing games. And, you know, we have to keep on them that they maintain this talk thing, because it can be solved with that. And there is no preeminent danger, you know. I hope the people don't buy the mushroom cloud in 45-minute thing again. You know, these, you know, I mean, from what I read, these people are years away from developing a nuclear bomb. And,
well, you know, Hans Blix, who was dead right on what on Iraq's capability, Scott Ritter, who was also dead right on Iraq's capability, both have said, who are preeminent scholars in the area of nuclear proliferation, both of them have said that Iran is 5 years away from developing anything, and that's if they get imported nuclear material. The nuclear material that is there, that occurs naturally within Iran, is not weapons grade and would have to be further refined than anything. I mean, it's a pipe dream. And, well, and the nuclear material that they've got now that they were able to process was actually given to them, or was that they got that from China.
Right. And a very small amount. And, you know, if you sit back and look at the situation and try to analyze the situation, we have, through diplomacy, and, you know, we have a far better chance of changing Iran than we did Iraq or Afghanistan, which, you know, Afghanistan, that's a joke. That's going back to the Taliban, you know, which is where we should have concentrated our efforts. But the, I mean, what, the Iranian population, what, 70% under 25 or some ridiculous number like that? And, you know, the young people aren't happy with their government. You know, those are the people we should be working for and promoting, you know, democracy and goodwill and, you know, and if we turn around and pull some stupid stuff, then they're going to turn, you know. And, you know, who could blame them?
And, you know, it brings the phrase to mind that Dick Gregory said. He said, if what you've got is so good, they'll steal it from you. You don't have to shove it on them and force it on them at the point of a gun.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, so, and you know, I think a majority of them young people do want to change. And, you know, it's just, well, and